Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 328 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharper.
Hello!
And Matt Cassell.
You totally didn't even let him finish introducing you.
I don't care. I'm so full of energy. I want to do this episode, man. He can't possibly wait. We all know Miller Lights are essentially like Red Bull to the max.
To the max? Like the purple and gold stranger who
to
roams
Sam
the
Max.
No, yeah. To the, you know, the eighties
to the maximum.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. And Matt Cassell, you're here with us as well tonight.
Yeah. Hello.
Tonight we're gonna talk about Batman. This is gonna be a very Batman centric podcast because Joel Schumacher died today. And Joel Schumacher is responsible for
some Batman movies.
Yes, he is responsible for a couple infamous Batman movies. And we also got some word that Michael Keaton is rejoining the Warner Brothers DC film universe. And some yet-to-be-substantiated capacity. So we're going to give you all of our opinions on both of these topics. Some may be a little incendiary. Some may be just what you expect from the McSauce Podcast. But before we talk about Batman, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
Never incendiary. McSauce.com, the home of our comic strip, our podcast, the home of us, really. Go there, check us out on all the social medias as well, Facebook, Instagram. What?
What? What?
Fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Wait, what was the date again, Paul, when you introduced us tonight?
I don't think I said it.
July 4th?
These
July
are 20... Father's Day
June,
fireworks,
June 22nd.
Post-Father's Day fireworks?
No, these are just Monday night fireworks. They're not a whole lot different than
Sunday
Tuesday
night fireworks.
Nights, Wednesday nights or Thursday nights fireworks. It's not a long time. It's just a couple bursts and then they're done.
But a lot of celebration.
This is a nightly thing. Around between 9:30 and 10, someone back there does the fireworks.
I wonder if they pick up on the podcast. Let us know.
In my neighborhood, that goes off usually a little later, actually. But there's a couple, and then that's it.
So anyway, check out all the fireworks, the audible fireworks from the McSauce Podcast on all your social medias. You can reach out to us and hit us up if you have questions about promotion or if you have questions about different kinds of things that you'd like us to talk about on the podcast. The best way to get your topic chosen for the podcast is to go to our Patreon and lay down $5 a month. We take it very seriously that you're giving us $5. We really appreciate it, but $5 a month. You can listen to all of the exclusive podcasts, and you will also be granted the chance to have a personalized podcast. We'll send you a survey. You can fill it out, and we will record anything that you want, honestly. So send that along. Go to our Patreon. A lot of good stuff on there, a lot of quality podcasts. Some of our best work, too, if I'm going to be very honest. So you can check it out there on our Patreon. And shout out to the new Patreons. On the feed, Cameron, Teresa, thank you for laying down your $5 a month and becoming part of this this growing family of exclusive podcast listeners.
I tweeted it out today. I think we've been killing it lately. I think we've had a nice run of very good episodes, very silly episodes, very informative episodes.
On the Patreon and on the main feed, I think they are feeding one another. Our enthusiasm for the topics that are getting selected on the Patreon are just kind of fueling the main show.
We are caught in an enthusiastic Ouroboros.
A what?
The Ouroboros. It's the Snake eating its tail. It's, you know, the constant feeding of one thing into the other.
Or the gridiron of enthusiasm featuring Super Patriot or Super Pro. Super Patriot's a real comic book character.
Super Patriot's a super pro villain, and it's Tom Brady.
No. Super Patriot's a real comic book character. Savage Dragon.
Eric Larson's own.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right.
He's a real character. Super Pro is the character that we've chosen that we're going to reinvigorate and bring back to the comic book readers of today.
I assume Eric Larson has the copyright for the name Super Patriot.
He does.
But I would like there to be like a Patriot bad guy that is from the New England Patriots that is constantly a thorn in Super Pro's side.
Just Hooded Bill. That's going to be the villain. He's a mad scientist that.
That's right. He actually was the one that killed Coach Ghost.
Oh my God! This is great! Yeah, what's funny is that Bill Belichick is a noted historian of football lore. He loves the history of football. He's connected to the history of football. So him killing Coach Ghost is real. It's poetic, which is what we're striving for. Poetry.
I feel like they're in the same. They're in the same age range, and we could even do a Master Padawan scenario where Coach Ghost was, like, Bill Belichick was
Hooded
Coach
Bill.
Ghost's
Hooded Bill.
Offensive coordinator.
Before he became
Hooded Bill, he got brought up under Coach Ghost's system, and then he turned on him.
Well, right, but in our story, he's Coach Billy B.
Yeah, Coach Billy B was the good. He was like a 1950s super happy, smiley.
Wore a
had
fedora.
Like a, had like a double B on his sweater vest.
Eventually,
the rain settled in, and the hood came up, and the sleeves fell away, and it became Hooded Bill. I can't wait. Let's do it. Super Pro.
What is Super Pro's real name?
Who gives a fuck?
Maybe that's the mystery. We don't know. Maybe he doesn't have a name. Maybe that's something on the final issue is he's dying. We learn what his name is.
Super Pro never dies.
Could Super Pro be anyone? Could Super Pro be all of us? I am Super Pro.
Kind of like how we create ourselves in Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Super Pro has to be one guy.
Yeah. But I don't think we need to know his name yet. We're still workshopping.
We're working.
Like, I don't think that's important yet. What's a little more concerning for me is that I'm way more invested in Coach Ghost than I am Super Pro. Super Pro is here so I can tell Coach Ghost stories.
But see, that's the thing. You're just going to be the Coach Ghost scribe. That's the guy that you really identify with and really, really love is Coach Ghost.
So we're not here tonight to talk about
Coach Ghost,
but we are here to talk about a newly minted ghost, Joel
Schumacher.
Oh,
that was a great segue.
R.I.P.
You're making my nipples stand right up.
Just golden. Golden, dude.
Joel Schumacher died today at 80 years old, famous in the comic world for directing Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, like two of the most controversial Batman movies. He also did Lost Boys, and like that's my extent of Joel Schumacher knowledge. I saw Alex Winter like post a nice tweet about, I guess, Joel Schumacher helped Alex Winter get his career going. And
yeah, well, he was thanks in for not Lost letting Boys. Me speak any lines in Lost Boys, Joel.
He got paid.
Yeah, I would have thought that there was something else that wasn't just Lost Boys, but who knows? That's my extent of Joel Schumacher
didn't
knowledge.
Direct,
one great movie and
didn't he direct the movie The Client?
Mm-hmm. And A Time to Kill.
Oh, okay, a couple of John Grisham movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Who's in
Those
A
are
Time
both pretty
to Kill?
Good.
And I don't think I've ever heard of The Client.
Matthew McConaughey.
Samuel L. Jackson and Sandra Bullock.
In A Time to Kill?
Yeah, mm-hmm. late 90s, maybe like 96, something like that.
Yes, and The Client is Susan Sarandon.
That was a little earlier, I think.
Tommy Lee Jones. Mary Louise Parker. And
The Client was good. It was about a
kid. I never saw The Client.
It was about a kid that basically gets sort of like unexpectedly kidnapped by kind of like a mob boss or a mob informant that was about to commit suicide, but he spilled his guts to the kid because he thought he was going to kill the kid.
I like unexpectedly kidnapped. Like, I've got my scheduled kidnapping
the guy was basically in the process of killing himself. The kid happens to come across him because the guy was going to, like, asphyxiate himself with the carbon monoxide from his car. He was, like, running a tube from the exhaust into the car. But the kid gets, like, makes his presence known. He gets caught. He gets pulled into the car, and he escapes. But right before that, this guy, like, spills his guts to the kid because I think he was going to kill the kid. And then now the kid knows all these dirty secrets, and the mob wants him dead. So Susan Sarandon plays his lawyer. And it was good from what I remember.
Hmm. Indeed.
It was better than Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Those are not good movies.
So let's talk about the Batman franchise a little bit. Batman 89 comes out. It defines Batman for a lot of people. I would imagine it is a pop culture sensation, probably not like we've seen in a long time. It gives Tim Burton a blank check. They're like, hey, man, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. And he's like, cool, I'll do that. And then we get Batman Returns, which is to varying degrees not as kid-friendly as the original, even though there's murder and stuff.
Or arguably even a Batman movie.
Yes, that's correct. And Tim Burton always has been more interested in villains and his take on misunderstood characters. So Batman really finds himself on the outs there, and because of some of the deals that were put in place with McDonald's for selling Batman Returns toys, and the way that maybe the movie still made money but it wasn't quite the sensation that the original Batman was, it made the studio drive itself in a different direction and look for that more bright, kid-friendly, poppy, and, sort of harkening back to the 1960s stuff, sort of the kitschy kind of crap. And that's where Schumacher comes into play. And Batman Forever isn't quite as bad, I would say, as Batman and Robin.
It's correct. Way better than Batman and Robin. It's totally watchable. Batman and Robin is unwatchable. That was terrible.
I agree.
We did a commentary episode. We made it watchable for you that if you are going to watch it, make sure you watch our commentary that goes along with it.
It'll definitely bolster your viewing experience.
Yeah, it definitely enhances it. But yeah, that movie was rotten, where I think Batman Forever has parts to it that are quite good. I actually liked most of the Robin stuff, even though he was 35.
He was it was weird because the Robin was older than Bruce Wayne. So it's an odd choice to adopt an elder. Right.
Well, isn't...
I'm going to adopt you, Dad.
Isn't Chris O'Donnell taller than Val Kilmer, too?
Could be. Yeah,
no, he's
maybe.
Not. He's
know.
Not. He was a little more slight than Val Kilmer. But he definitely was a grown up. He was not a kid. And at the time, I thought that was pretty cool, actually. He definitely didn't come off as like a 15-year-old. He was much more of like a maybe an early 20s.
Yeah, definitely kinda. Someone that didn't need to be taken in as a ward.
Yeah, he had a mortgage. So, but yeah, there were problems there, but still some cool stuff. But once we get into Batman and Robin, it is the joke factory of Arnold Schwarzenegger
all
as Mr. Freeze.
Literally every line of dialogue was a one-liner,
which was no different in Batman Forever because Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey are also it's Zingerfest.
It was different. It was different. There was way more one-liners in Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin was an atrocity.
Yeah, it's not.
Batman Forever had redeemable moments. I think Batman Forever was an interesting blend of the Tim Burton gothic aesthetic, but certainly infusing more of the 60s kind of vibe and the neon that just went bonkers in the next one in Batman and Robin. But
I haven't seen it in a while, but I've always thought Batman Forever was better than Batman Returns. I would rather watch Batman Forever because Batman Returns is so weird. It's so goofy to me. Like, it's such a bizarre movie that, like, I don't like it. It's not for me. At least Batman Forever feels like a Batman movie. There's Batman things in it. Like, it feels like a Batman comic. You know, there's relatable characters. You know, like, the first time I had probably seen a penguin that was a fucking sewer monster was in Batman Returns.
When was the next time?
Probably in some like Elseworlds comic, but the penguin was never a monster. Like, you know, Burgess Meredith wasn't a monster. The animated series, the redesign wasn't like fishy.
Yeah, no, I think the penguin always came across as a normal guy. He was a gangster, but
he always had that long nose.
Yeah, it was all like Batman Returns for me. It was just so weird. All of it was weird, and like Christopher Walken's character in it. It's all so weird. Like, I just don't like it.
I love it.
Yeah,
but because of why Paul's saying he hated it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty weird, and I think I've soured on it as I've grown older. I think in the moment I really liked it because it was just new Batman, more Batman. It seemed more adult because it was, because they were biting people's noses off and killing the Snow Princess.
I appreciate
and all that
wild its
stuff.
Dark sense of humor that just doesn't exist in movies of that type.
And
anymore.
all of my mental images of that movie are in black and white.
That's weird. The movie's in color.
But it's so desaturated, is it?
What?
It's true. I don't know. Maybe it just your brain.
Anyway,
in a while.
So
I feel like the color palette for that movie is so desaturated.
See, I think it's a blue. In my mind, when I think of Batman Returns, I think of like snow and blue and like that kind of stuff.
So. Well, all the characters were mostly dark, and then Penguin was black and white with the stripes, I think. But anyway, I don't think Joel Schumacher made that movie. He made Batman Forever, and he made Batman and Robin, which effectively ended the Bat franchise all the way until about 2005.
It ended superhero movies.
See, that's a misnomer, because in that same year, Blade came out later on in the summer, which...
The same year
Batman and Robin
came out?
Yes. Same
99?
Year. Same year.
That's wild.
I don't think it was the same year, Ian.
Well, let's see here. Riff and Vamp,
I know that my friend Jeff saw Batman and Robin the night that it came out. He went to a midnight show. Huge, huge Batman fan. And, you know, like, everybody saw the previews to it. The movie bombed. It didn't do very well. And usually...
I'm incorrect. It was 1 year later. 97, Batman and Robin. 98, Blade.
Yeah, but... So, yeah, that's right. It didn't kill superhero movies. Blade's so different and weird, and Blade still doesn't get the credit that it deserves. Like, people are still like, superhero movies didn't start till Iron Man.
Well, then, I mean, but they're wrong, because X-Men in 2000 was the real kickoff to superhero movies done right, so...
So
it killed it, in fairness. It killed it for a couple of years. 97, superhero movies dead. 2000, rise from your grave.
Like Altered Beast. So, as I was saying, my friend goes to the midnight showing, and he had said that it was like a half full theater, which is not a real good sign for like a midnight showing premiere for like a big time summer movie. And, he said everybody was like just shaking their head at walking out of the theater. Like, what the hell was that? Like, everybody hated it. And I remember asking him years ago, I was like, didn't you see the previews? Like, you couldn't tell it was terrible. He's like, I was holding out hope that it might somehow be good. It wasn't.
When did you guys see Batman and Robin?
I didn't see it until at least a year later, like on VHS. Mm-hmm. By then I was sure that it was rotten. Plus, I had already kind of moved on. Like, I was more into... Because I went and saw Spawn the day that it opened, and that came out the same summer as Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. To me, that was a way more important movie.
Oh, me too. What's funny is that I had this duality. I remember in... I guess it would have been 1990... whenever Batman was released on VHS. I remember I was like sick or something like that. I stayed home from school trying, you know, fake sick or whatever. I didn't go to school, and I remember my parents, you know, bringing home Batman, and I remember that, you know, the case with the Bat logo on it, and I was so excited. Me and my sister sat down, we watched Batman, and I remember almost the same thing happened. Because I didn't go to the theaters to see Batman and Robin. And it was some day in the winter or something like that. And I was sick, or I was, you know, duck in school. And my parents bought Batman and
Every
Robin.
Time Ian fakes sick, his mom buys him a movie.
He buys me a specifically Batman movie.
Right, gets him Batman.
And I remember
it's always Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin. And I was like, I feel 30 copies of Batman and Robin. Sicker.
Yeah, he watches Batman and Robin, and then he throws up. And she's like, oh my God, he's really sick.
Better get him another one.
It's so weird. I remember that bookend of those films, because that was like the first installment. Like, I feel like all four of those films in some way or another are connected, and
they have the same commissioner and the same Alfred,
and the same general aesthetic. You know, if you look at those, it was just kind of ramped up towards. It was really crazy, over-the-top gothic. But then in the latter films, we got more neon and a little bit crazier. But those original designs are... There's a lot of over-the-topness in the original Gotham City.
Yeah, but it... I don't know, man. I don't think that there's a whole lot of similarity.
It's connected. Like, if you're like it gets ramped up, but I feel like it's still connected.
I feel you, but I'm not there.
All right.
But anyway, R.I.P. Joel Schumacher.
Design? Yeah, the general city design of those original Batman movies.
I will tell you, on a personal level, I was so excited for Batman Forever when it was coming out. I got the novelization written by the Incredible Hulk's own Peter David. And I can remember reading it. I had to help move my grandmother into her new apartment, and I brought that book, and on breaks I would read that book. I was so excited. And I saw that movie opening weekend and loved it at the time. Got the VHS. My mother brought me home that VHS on Halloween, the first year I didn't go trick-or-treating because I was busy watching Batman Forever at home.
Ugh.
I was like, Dad, you got to see this. I'm pretty sure he fell asleep 5 minutes in. But that was the best I could do.
I don't remember the first time I saw either one.
Either of the Joel Schumachers?
Either of the Schumachers. I feel like I must have gone to the theater for at least one of them. But during that time, that's when I wasn't into comics. I wasn't reading comics. Like, I was pretty much, like, out.
I definitely went to Showcase Cinema East to see. It was a big event movie for forever. I remember the soundtrack. What?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the soundtrack that had
Kiss
all
from
the
Rose.
Really and the Smashing Pumpkins song?
Faster,
or something like that.
Something
like
Kill
that.
Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Faster. Yeah. I forget, but
something
like that.
Something like that. It had a lot of pop
yeah.
musicians on it. So
no
I remember.
Prince.
What's that?
No Prince.
No Prince, unfortunately. No, he had moved on.
But I still look back fondly on Batman Forever. So, anyway, R.I.P. Joel Schumacher. The Batman, Paul, that Joel Schumacher, the actor that he didn't direct that played Batman, was Michael Keaton, the first Batman of that.
You don't say.
Quadrology. Is that what they're called? A quadrology? Quadology?
I think probably just a movie series.
Quidology?
Saga? Batman Saga?
Saga. Saga's goat.
Yeah, that's so, good. Sounds like he might be putting the bat suit back on, Michael Keaton?
Yeah, for a multi-picture deal. Not like, hey, he's going to have a five-second cameo in this movie. It sounds like he's going to... It sounds like he's going to have a pretty... hefty role in a few things. Like, from what I read today, just hearing that it's going to be a multi-picture, DC's expanding, and they're doing whatever they want at this point. They're not, like, it has to be in this universe. It has to work with these characters. It sounds like he may be the temple character that they work around to make different things happen. Like, there could still be a Batman Begins or Batman Beyond movie where he's old crusty Bruce Wayne training the young upstart, you know, 100 years in the future, or not 100 years. He'd be,
I think, at
skeleton.
This point it's 15 years.
Yeah.
I think it's next week.
But the initial report is he's going to be in the Ezra Miller Flash. Which is very bittersweet for me, because I love Michael Keaton. I think the idea of him coming back to be any Batman is outstanding. But if I could have one wish, it would be that Ezra Miller Flash movie dies, and they just start over with someone else.
Yeah, maybe Michael Keaton Batman will murder.
They may course correct a little bit and get the Flash sorted out. Personally, I didn't really have any issues with the Flash, but I'm not a big Flash fan to begin with. I thought it was fine. I have mixed feelings on it, on the whole idea overall, having Michael Keaton come back. Like, that part's exciting, but I don't know if I like it in just some kind of little... kind of recurring support role a la Nick Fury.
Is that what they're trying to do, or are they going to build a future Batman movie around him as well? Or is that unspecified?
None of this is even like happening for sure. Like, what we're hearing is that he's in talks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, who knows? Maybe this won't even happen. But if it does happen, it sounds like they are going to treat him sort of like a Nick Fury type character. And that kind of got me thinking more broadly about this whole idea of older actors in these more like younger kind of centric movies, like types of movies and franchises. You don't really see an older actor as a lead in any of them, you know, any of the Marvel movies. Robert Downey Jr. is probably the oldest, and what is he, in his like early 50s?
Probably.
You don't see older leads in Star Wars. You don't see older leads in DC movies. Like, these kind of movies just don't get older leads. The closest thing we got to it was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. They let Harrison Ford be the lead. Unfortunately, that wasn't that good, but that's a very unique character to try to pull something like that off, because he's an adventure type character and you sort of have to have him doing adventure-y things. Maybe that doesn't exactly translate to somebody in his late 60s, early 70s, or God help him, in his early 80s, as is going to probably be the case when the next Indiana Jones comes out. But with Batman, I feel like you can kind of work around it a little bit. Obviously use the Dark Knight Returns as some inspiration. Shut up, Siri.
Siri didn't
like
that.
What is with you guys tonight?
Calm down. Your phone was going off all fucking night long. What are you talking about?
But the vibrate doesn't pick up on the mics.
But it does, because we all listen to the podcast and you can hear it whenever
you
your
can.
Phone's vibrating. You absolutely
I listen
can.
To it sometimes. You can't hear it. Your alarms, can't. Siri over there.
One time. How many fucking other times? How many other podcasts? Go to Spotify. Look at the history, the long history. You're always the one with your phone dinging and going off.
It never dings. Never dings. It buzzes and you can't hear it. It doesn't pick up.
It absolutely does.
It doesn't
Calm
pick
down.
Up.
Matt, continue with the actual podcast.
So
who has an alarm set for 7:15 p.m.?
I fucked up, man. I fucked up. I told you.
I love how you brought that into this episode. That didn't happen.
Yeah, dude, I was super tired. I fucking set my alarm wrong. What do you want?
Go sign up for the Patreon for this Easter egg.
So I got to thinking about maybe that there is some ageism going on in these types of movies.
Oh boy.
Because I'm not convinced that the fans don't want Michael Keaton Batman as the leading hero of his own movie, or that they don't want Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker as the main hero of his Star Wars film, but instead they're always shifting the focus to the next generation, the younger, the more handsome, the prettier version of these archetypes. And Michael Arndt was originally hired to write Star Wars Episode 7. And eventually he was fired, and J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan took over the writing responsibilities, I think using elements from Michael Arndt's story. But Michael Arndt had revealed one of his struggles as he was writing this movie was every time he wrote Luke, he felt like Luke was just completely stealing the show. And whether it was George Lucas's original outline or J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan's story, it was always going to be about the next generation, the younger, the kids or whatever, the grandchildren. But obviously that was wrong, because the story is begging you, make Luke the hero. That's what people want. Like, if you write a story and Luke is on screen, he commands your imagination and your attention, why wouldn't you run with that? It's like magic. And instead they turn their back on it because he's not young enough. Give me a break. Like, I'm not saying that all heroes need to be old, but when you have characters that are beloved, why the hell wouldn't you use them? And I think Luke and Michael Keaton's Batman are absolute prime examples. I don't want Michael Keaton's Batman to be a supporting character to Ezra Miller. He should be the guy. That's what people want to see. Why not give them what they want? Why are you teasing that? I know why you're teasing it. That's the sad thing.
You two aren't big Dark Knight Returns people, but would you be interested in seeing a version or a treatment? It doesn't have to be blow for blow. It doesn't have to involve the mutants specifically or whatever portions you don't
really like.
But would you like something like that?
I think that's a really interesting question, but it opens up the possibility of this whole interdimensional thing, because obviously the Joker died in the first Batman movie. I don't know if this is the same Batman or what, but I get worried that if they're not careful, they're going to end up with an X-Men kind of continuity with all these different actors playing the same characters.
It's too late, though, man.
It's, you know, I don't think it's too late.
So many different versions of Joker out there already, and there's so many different versions of Batman.
Well, yes, there are, but within the context of the DC cinematic universe, right now, currently, there's one Batman, it's Ben Affleck. Who knows what they're going to do with Michael Keaton or whatever. There's one version of the Joker. It was, what's his name? Jared Leto.
Yeah, but so then we have the 80s version of Joker, which is...
It's not part of the greater storyline. It's kind of its own separate thing.
Do you think that filmgoers know that or care? Because we're also going to get Robert Pattinson pretty soon, too. And that's going to further convolute
That's separate from the cinematic universe.
Yeah, I kind of feel like same with
Joker.
I feel like
no, and I think that's what DC's purposefully doing. They're doing things differently, and I think
they would be best served doing things like make the multiverse.
I think
go
from
crazy.
What I read today that they're not concerned about Michael Keaton being this specific Bruce Wayne from this specific timeline. I think they're comfortable being like, hey, here's grizzled old-ass Bruce Wayne from Flashpoint in the Ezra Miller movie, and also we're going to use Michael Keaton again in Batman Beyond because why not? Like,
I wouldn't
so long
even
as they're
care
good
they
properties,
used...
I think DC's just like, yeah, let's do whatever. Not all of it needs to be connected.
I wouldn't even care if they used Michael Keaton and fucking Mark Hamill. Like, whatever. Do whatever. Just make an entertaining piece of
I would guess that Mark Hamill would love to be a live-action Joker.
I think he would, too.
Because he is a ham, and the Joker is a ham.
I think that, actually, the X-Men comparison is valid here because, especially if Michael Keaton comes in and plays a different Batman, but he's, like, Batman again, it reminds me of... Ryan Reynolds being Deadpool in the Wolverine movie and then being like the real Deadpool later. It, like both Deadpool, but obviously two different characters. That's what this feels like it could be. I don't like getting into that. To me, it feels like a really convoluted, kind of like hodgepodge kind of continuity.
Well, you're not a time travel guy either.
But it's hilarious because you're a comic book guy. And what's more hodgepodgey than comic book lore?
Oh, you know, you're not different universe guy. You're not alternate dimension.
I'm
you
not
don't
a huge
like
time travel
dimensions.
Person, but you're traditionally.
But you're a comic book fan, man.
And you
and
love
like,
Back to the
that's
Future.
That's how these stories go.
Yeah, I realize that, but I have found that I prefer not to even pay attention to continuity because it's especially within comics. It's way too confusing. It's absurd. Like in the Marvel Cinematic U, they obviously have done it right. That continuity is tight, makes sense, mostly, and I accept it. Whereas in comic books, it's completely different. There's just so many more stories. It's been going for so much longer. Obviously, you know, characters are not aging, really.
But characters aren't meant to be around for as long as these characters have been around for. Or let
but
me
now
put
they
it
are.
This, let me put it this way: audiences weren't meant to be around this long to care about characters for this long for it to matter.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't give a crap about continuity. Like I kind of cherry pick storylines at this point. And how they might fit together with other storylines.
Headcanon.
As long as, yeah, right. As long as they kind of retain, you know, the appropriate characteristics of the characters and things of that nature, that's good enough for me.
But in movies, you feel differently, though. Because you're saying two different kind of things.
Well, but because we're talking about two different things.
Two are getting melded together almost, like, with as many Jokers as there are in all the different media, be it cartoons, TV shows, or films. Like
right.
There are,
Ian,
you're gonna...
Ian, come on. Hold on a second. What you're talking about with all those different Jokers, that like clearly those are different like starting and stopping points. They're not trying to merge those into one cohesive cinematic universe the
but
way
DC's
the Marvel
not trying to do that either.
They
but
are
DC
try...
isn't trying. To
yes,
do
they that. Are. I mean, are you trying to tell me that like Aquaman and Wonder Woman aren't linked?
They're like only by accident that those movies made enough money that yeah, sure, but. Are you telling me that
only that in like, the idea that Aquaman was such a surprising cash cow, they can't
forget
dump it
about
at this
it.
Point.
But you know, if the Robert Pattinson Batman hits big and they want to do Justice League number 2 and they want to put those characters together, they definitely
I thought
will.
Justice League 1 was number 2.
They definitely will. Like they're just going to use whoever makes most sense to fan support.
I don't think
monetary.
That's right, because if that's the case, they would have rolled the Joaquin Phoenix Joker into the greater DCU.
They still,
which
they still,
who knows?
With
he
this,
might be fucking
with this weird Flashpoint
Michael Keaton's
stuff.
Villain. You don't know. Like they might. They don't. They seemingly don't give a shit.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess things are wide open, and we don't know. My instincts tell me that that's going to remain its own thing. Also, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Superman, and this Michael Keaton Batman seem like they're all going to work within the same DCU. I don't know how. I guess they're going to make it like where the Ben Affleck version of Batman like goes away because of some kind of interdimensional rift or whatever. And
so you're proposing that Michael Keaton comes back as old man Batman and joins this Wonder Woman? And
I'm anticipating, based on this report, yeah, because there is no more
weird.
Ben Affleck.
That's crazier than anything else that I've heard.
Well, how do you think they're going to explain
it? I mean, I don't really care how they do
well, it. That's not what I asked. I didn't ask
how
much
I, oh,
do you
how
care?
Do I think? I think that they're going to meld Robert Pattinson, and they're also going to take Michael Keaton as an old man Batman kind of thing. I think that they're going to use everything in their arsenal right now because they've done some things that work and some things that don't, and they're going to use everything all at once.
And they're all going to be connected.
He may not
I mean,
even,
maybe or maybe not.
He
like,
may not even be Bruce Wayne. They may use him as Thomas Wayne.
They could.
For the Flashpoint storyline. He may not even be Bruce. And then whatever, you know, however they deal with all the time hopping and Flashpoint, you get back to where we're at now. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to tie Robert Pattinson in. I think that's really going to be, like Joker, I think they're really going to be their own thing. I don't think they're going to pull a CW and really try to pull everything in. Like I
but
think
the
after,
DC lineage is always the multi-universes and like at one point, maybe some of those things overlap.
It's yeah, true, but also, like, the movie makers don't give a shit about that. I think what they got from Joker and, to a lesser extent, Birds of Prey, they can do whatever they want and find, you know, some kind of success. So I don't think DC cares at this point. I think if they're like, yeah, Robert Pattinson is on an island over here, that works out great. We'll deal with all this other stuff. I don't think they're in the mindset anymore of tying everything together because they bent their backs trying to make that happen, and it sucked.
That's why I think that...
I don't think they're going to force it again.
That's why I think that people could appear in randomly out-of-place things and movies because they don't care anymore, and they're going to put whoever it makes sense into the movies.
Right. And that's what I said earlier. Like, I think Michael Keaton could be Thomas Wayne in The Flash, and then he can also be Bruce Wayne in a Batman Beyond movie. Like, I think, like, if they're just going to do whatever they want. I don't think combining anything is remotely close to the top of their priority list.
So you guys are just saying two totally
we're
different things,
yeah,
are we?
Because I think what you're saying is fucking crazy. Like, they wouldn't have him be Thomas Wayne, and then in a movie a year later have him be Bruce Wayne. I think that's nuts. But I could see him being a version of Bruce Wayne from a universe that the Joker got murdered in or is still alive. Like, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But he's not going to play concurrently two different people.
How are they going to explain Ben Affleck not being there anymore?
That's why I think maybe they're going to bring Robert Pattinson in.
Maybe since Henry Cavill's...
To be the Batman,
yeah. Like,
and not really explain it, just now this is who it is.
Maybe since Henry Cavill's coming back around and, like, you know, there's talks of bringing him back.
Are there?
Yeah, then maybe Ben Affleck will be like, oh,
well, there's,
maybe this will work out this
time. As of right now, there's a lot of positive buzz and goodwill with the Snyder Cut. Who knows? What if... what if it turns into, like, a pretty good movie? Okay? But, like, suddenly you have, like, kind of a franchise again, especially coming off of the strength of Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Shazam. And I'm not, I know it's not quite as big as those two, but they are making a sequel. And
I like
there
Shazam.
Are,
I
there
thought Shazam
are,
was very cool.
Me too. And there are direct ties to Superman and Batman from that universe. And the rumors are that Superman's going to have a much, like, actually have a role in the Shazam movie. I feel like they're still trying to put some semblance of a universe together. But I do not think they are, I know that they make bad decisions, but I don't think they're that stupid that they would put Joaquin Phoenix's Joker into these movies. Because it would ruin it. It would absolutely ruin it. It worked for what it was, and which was completely segregated from this superhero universe. The movie didn't even feel like a superhero.
The only way
movie.
That I could see that them not doing that and stopping themselves from doing that is if Joaquin Phoenix was just like, yep, nope, not doing it. That's the only way that I don't see in some way or fashion in the next 5 years we don't see another
Todd Phillips wouldn't Joaquin go for it either.
Phoenix. Don't need him. Definitely need Joaquin Phoenix.
Neither one of them, I don't think, would go for it.
I would be very surprised if they tried to fold Joaquin Phoenix into all this.
Yeah,
I'd be shocked.
I don't know. It was such a big movie. It made so much money. Money talks, guys.
And
bullshit
Warner Brothers
walks.
Is famous for terrible decisions. So yeah. Not out of the cards, but I would be surprised. I think this one they're gonna leave alone. I think we'd see a Joker 2 before we see him get folded in with Gal Gadot.
I'm very interested to see now November's Wonder Woman 84. Did you see that got pushed back to like November?
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
Poor Wonder Woman. I'm poor, curious.
Poor all the
poor,
movies that were supposed
us.
To come out.
We can't
this...
go to the movies.
I know, right?
But we can
it
go
is
to AMC
summer and there's
without
no
masks.
Summer movies. How fucking crazy is that? What was going to be this summer's big movie? By the way,
Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. I guess so, huh?
Probably Wonder Woman.
That Tenet movie's still coming out.
What?
Yeah,
the Chris Nolan movie, Tenet.
Oh, okay.
Supposed to redefine filmmaking for a generation.
I'm curious to see the Wonder Woman movie and see just how linked it is to the rest of the DCU, which obviously the first one was, you know, relatively linked, but not, I mean, it certainly stood on its own. I wonder if they're going to try to sever ties or somewhat double down. And who knows? Because I don't know who's running the ship over there now that Zack Snyder is kind of not the kind of the
my guess
ringmaster.
Is that Wonder Woman 84 stands completely alone.
Maybe
there's like an offhanded 80-yard line of dialogue. Like, maybe we should call Aquaman. He's busy. But like, yeah, I don't think. If there was like a Henry Cavill cameo or Jason Momoa cameo, I'd be like, I would be shocked. I think this is really going to stand on its own because they started making this when the DC Cinematic Universe was.
What
at
if there's
its
a
lowest.
Michael Keaton cameo?
I don't think these things are going to happen, guys. Yeah,
no, I don't
the
think
DC
so.
Universe was essentially dead. When they were making this movie,
right.
There was no Henry Cavill.
Yeah,
no
I think
Ben
they're
Affleck,
cutting.
Like.
I think they're. This is going to be a very completely by itself kind of movie.
Which, you know, and I've said this before, but DC has had more recent successes than failures with their cinematic universe movies. Shazam, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman were all hits. And the Birds of Prey movie, which I could have told DC, don't make that. But they're not asking me right now.
For whatever reason.
Unlike HBO Max, they're not listening. Someone's not berating them on a weekly basis.
So, I mean, okay, so Michael Keaton's in talks. Is this going to happen? Prediction, Ian, yes or no?
Yes.
Paul?
Yeah.
I say it's not going to happen.
Oh, you think it's all going to fall through?
I do, because it seems really cool, and if it does, it'll suck. They'll figure out a way to make it not cool. Like, they'll treat him like a fucking cameo, even though I think we all agree.
But it's still going to happen.
No, I don't think it will, but if it does, it will suck.
Oh, hey, how about that Morbius movie that also was supposed to feature a cameo of Michael Keaton as Vulture?
When was that supposed to come out?
I mean, in the summer, in the dark times now.
It was supposed to come out tonight?
Yeah. Welcome to the Morbius premiere.
We're recording this from the empty cinema.
And then people thought Tobey Maguire might have a cameo in it because his Spider-Man was on the poster. I thought that was going to be an October release, but I don't know.
Time is a flat circle, so who could ever know?
But that movie looked like shit anyway. So.
It didn't look great, but I definitely would have wanted to see it. So. I'm still a mark.
Yeah. Did you like Venom?
I didn't like it. I went to see it.
I saw it. I did not like it.
No, I didn't like it.
I haven't seen Venom.
Really?
No. But I appreciate the out-of-the-box thinking of making some wild shit like Venom and this goofy-ass Morbius movie. Who the fuck cares about Michael Morbius?
Sony Pictures, because they're going to milk the Spider-Man franchise for every fucking thing that they can while they have it.
Yeah, I guess so. Do you guys think there will be a Henry Cavill Superman movie?
No. I think he's done, guys.
I think he'll appear in something, but I don't think they'll ever get around to making another movie. I'm not convinced he's even a good Superman. The longer that I've kind of sat with it, it has been a minute since I saw Man of Steel, but
you never get him as Superman. Like, what? You get him as, like, Superman Begins in Man of Steel, and then you get him as Grumpy Gus in Batman v Superman, and he's dead, and he's a bad guy for three quarters of Justice League. Like, you don't really get to see him be Superman. Up until the last, like, 20 minutes of Justice League, and he's very good at it. But the bulk of his career is Superman. Like, he's not that character. He's playing some fucking dour piece of shit.
Then why do you love Man of Steel so much?
Because I think Man of Steel lays really good bones for Clark really coming out of his shell and learning how to be the Superman for the people. I think there's a Man of Steel 2 that would have been exactly what Superman fans wanted, but we never got to see it. But I think in my heart of hearts, I know I'm not going to get another Superman Henry Cavill movie, so that makes me real sad.
I like him and I like his enthusiasm for the character, but I just don't know if there's just something that doesn't feel quite right, I think. It's like an intangible that I can't really define. If they did make another Superman, I would be fine with that. With him. But if they don't, I think I'd be okay with that, too.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I think it's tough for our generation because we got the absolute perfect Superman right out of the gate.
Yeah, and I think,
like,
so,
that's
too.
That's a high bar.
And you know what we really never, like, truly never saw, really, was Clark Kent. Never really saw Clark Kent. Daily Planet, Clark Kent.
Oh, you mean Henry Cavill's Clark Kent.
Yeah, we saw about 5 minutes of him in Batman v Superman.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
it's true.
He doesn't really exist in Justice League.
No, and he doesn't exist in Man of Steel because he's not there yet.
Right. Like, never has the glasses or anything like that.
The last, like, 5 minutes he has the glasses.
Yeah. It just feels like such a missed opportunity because it's part of the DNA of the character.
That's why I think there's a perfect Man of Steel to follow up. A perfect Man of Steel 2 to follow up Man of Steel because that foundation is laid.
I suppose,
and
but like
you can hit the ground running in Man of Steel 2. I think, like, I like Man of Steel, but yeah, it's controversial.
Why
Superman movie?
Did they not make a fucking sequel when they had the chance? Like, Man of Steel was successful. It did well. Why did they not make the sequel when the time was right?
Wasn't Marvel like hitting the ground running with everything at that point, and then they started rushing? Like, because wasn't Batman v Superman gonna be Man of Steel 2, and then they turned it into Batman v Superman?
Maybe. Worst decision that they could have made. That really derailed everything severely.
Yeah, they tried to force everything and rush everything too much, and I don't know. We'll see. They consistently make decisions that I disagree with, so if they fuck up this Michael Keaton business, I won't be surprised.
Did you hear that Zack Snyder is making another, like, Dawn of the Dead movie? Like, kind of the sequel to his Dawn of the Dead?
I did.
Like, his first movie? Which is really cool, right? He's, like, going back to his roots, the thing that kind of put him on the map in the first place. Like, that was before he made 300. I think that's cool. Like, you know,
I'll check it out.
Because everybody kind of turned their back on him.
Poor Mark over here, so it doesn't take much.
Yeah, well, you like the Dawn of the Dead that he made, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yeah, the that first, like, 20 minutes of that movie is, like, near flawless filmmaking. It's so fucking good.
Ian, have you seen it?
I have. I know all about it. It's fine.
Okay. Ian, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'd just like to add that I found the thing that puts me to sleep is Superman talk, so holy shit.
That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Sleepy Ian Sharpley.
Good night.